with something from the National Education Association website. It says, support professionals, homeschools run by well-meaning amateurs. This is what the National Education Association website says. Schools with good teachers are best suited to shape young minds, it says. This is written by a guy named Dave Arnold. There's nothing like having the right person with the right experience, skills, and tools to accomplish a specific task. Certain jobs are best left to the pros, such as formal education. Oh, this is already starting to make a lot of sense, isn't it? And you'd expect that right from the NEA website, we get something that makes a lot of sense. There are a few homeowners who can tackle every aspect of home repair. A few of us might know carpentry, plumbing, and let's say cementing. Others may know about electrical work, tilling, and roofing, but hardly anyone can do it all. Same goes for cars. Not many of them have the skills and knowledge to perform all the repairs of a family car. Even if they do, they probably don't own the proper tools. Heck, some people have their hands full just knowing how to drive. So why would some parents assume they know enough about every academic subject to homeschool their children? You would think they might leave this, the shaping of their children's minds, careers, and futures, to trained professionals. That is, to those who have worked steadily at their profession for 10, 20, 30 years. Teachers. Oh, yes, parents don't have the skills, as if somehow going to school and being indoctrinated by some pagan program in college helps you become a better school teacher, and then feeding and causing these children to imbibe a bunch of nonsense dictated by the federal government about alternative lifestyles, environmentalism, Darwinism, and so forth is somehow good for them. And I tell you what, parents are the only ones who are equipped to teach their children, the only ones God gives that right to and that obligation to. It's not given to other people, and so this is just nonsense. But anyway, and we know this by the fact that homeschooling works well, and it's almost laughable that this article exists on the NEA site. Although it's great to see that this is the best shot they've gotten. It's even funnier when you get to the end. Experienced pros, he says, there's nothing like having the right person with the right experience, skills, and tools to accomplish a specific task. Whether it's window washing, bricklaying, designing a space station, certain jobs are best left to the pros. Formal education is one of those jobs. Of course, there are circumstances that might make it necessary for parents to teach their children at home. For example, the child is severely handicapped and cannot be transported safely to a school, or is bedridden with a serious disease, or lives in such a remote area that attending public school is near impossible. Oh, well-meaning amateurs, he says, the number of parents who could easily send their children to public schools but opt for homeschooling instead is on the increase. This is like they're sending up a warning flag. Warning, warning, homeschooling on the increase. Several organizations have popped up on the webs to serve these wannabe teachers. Wannabe teachers? Oh, yeah, I'll put mom up any day against one of you bonehead public school teachers. Anyway, get me a little fired up there. These organizations are even running ads on primetime television. Oh no, terrible. After viewing one advertisement, I searched a homeschool website. Ooh. This site contains some statements that really irritate me. Number one, the first statement that really irritated him is, it's not as difficult as it looks. The it means is meant to be teaching. Let's face it, teaching children is difficult even for experienced professionals. Wannabes have no idea. Oh, really? Is that why they're writing? Because they have no idea? How about because we have about 30 years of experience doing this and have been very successful at it, and it's not as difficult as it looks? This Dave Arnold guy is just a liar and a dupe, an adult, it seems. Sorry, Dave. That personal attacks aren't the name of the game here at Christian Worldview, but when he makes those kind of statements, it sure seems like he's adult. Maybe he's really not. Maybe he's just deceived and a good dupe of the left. Here's a second thing he hates about homeschool sites, or a quotation that really bothers him. What about socialization? Forget about it. Forget about interacting with others? Are they nuts? Socialization is an important component of getting along in life. You cannot teach it. Children should have the opportunity to interact with others of their own age without allowing the children to mingle, trade ideas and thoughts with others. These parents are creating social misfits. Oh, yeah. Yeah, like kids that are homeschooled don't have socialization and don't have 10 times the skills that a public school kid does. Social misfits. They end up being some of the best qualified people around. Colleges know it. Employers know it. This guy's either living in a dream world, or maybe he still is, after being high on Timothy Leary's kind of potion. for the last 30 years or something. This website encouraged homeschooler children to join after-school clubs in the local area, participate in sports and other community activities, and I might feel different. Maine state laws, for example, require local school districts to allow homeschooled students to participate in the athletic program, so this website to declare forget about it is bad advice. I'm not sure what the website actually says. He doesn't even give the website address. I think it probably means, you know, you don't have to worry about it, because it'll take care of itself. When I worked for Walmart more than 20 years ago, Sam, that was good training for what he's about to do here in writing this piece. Sam Walton once told me, I can teach Walmart associates how to use a computer calculator and how to operate like retailers, but I can't teach them how to be a teammate when they've never been part of any team. Oh. Visit our online bookstore is another statement he doesn't like. He says, buying a history, science, or math book does not mean an adult can automatically instruct others about the book's content. Oh, really? Why not? What do you have to do? Get, like, special training at a government or indoctrination center or a college, university to learn how to do it? They'd probably say the same thing about me. I'm not even allowed to teach in a public school, and that's a good thing. I don't want to even be tempted to think about it. But they would say, look, you know, having a PhD and a couple master's degree, that doesn't qualify you. You've got to go through the indoctrination program to get this teaching certificate thing where they really teach you how to educate people. Nonsense. A bunch of gibberish. Poppycock and all that. He continues on here, gullible parents. Another website asks for donations and posts newspaper articles pertaining to problems occurring in public schools. It's obvious to me that these organizations are in it for the money. They are motivated in the education of children, mostly in the hope of profiting at the hands of well-meaning but gullible parents. This includes parents who homeschool their children for reasons that may be linked to religious convictions. One website I visited stated the best way to combat a nation's ungodly public schools was to remove students from them and teach them at home or at a Christian school. Hey, that's right. I'm certainly not opposed to religious schools or anyone standing up for what they believe, and I admire anyone who has the strength to stand up against the majority. But in this case, pulling children out of a school is not the best way to fight the laws that govern our educational system. No battle has ever been won by retreating. Sounds like what Tony Beam said, by the way, in his article. We'll get to that in a little bit. No battle has ever been won by retreating. Tony Beam doesn't want us to retreat in his article in the Times Examiner a couple weeks ago and on his website or weblog on crosswalk.com. No training. Most parents don't have, or most parents have a tough enough job teaching their children social, disciplinary, and behavioral skills. They would be wise to help their children and themselves by leaving the responsibility of teaching math, science, art, writing, history, geography, and other subjects to those who are knowledgeable, trained, and motivated to do the best job possible. Yeah, right. They aren't motivated by that. They're all a bunch of nonsense that they teach kids. They don't go to public schools to get good training. They get indoctrinated with nonsense most of the time. Well, here's Dave Arnold in his qualification. This is the real kicker, folks. Dave Arnold, a member of the Illinois Education Association, that's important, right? And that's an NEA a subsidiary, is head custodian at Brownstown Elementary School in Southern Illinois. This is the best shot the NEA's got at promoting public schooling. They get the janitor. The head custodian's like the janitor, isn't it? At Brownstown Elementary School in Southern Illinois. This is on the NEA website. I'm telling you the truth. The janitor is writing articles in favor of the public school and criticizing homeschooling as if we don't know what we're doing. Crazy. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a minute.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
A major research institution has just announced the discovery of the heaviest element yet known to science. The new element has been called governmentium. Governmentium has one neutron, 12 assistant neutrons, 75 deputy neutrons, and 224 assistant deputy neutrons, giving it an atomic mass of 312. These 312 particles are held together by forces called morons, which are surrounded by vast quantities of lepton-like particles called pions. Since governmentium has no electrons, it is inert. However, it can be detected as it impedes every reaction with which it comes into contact. A minute amount of governmentium causes one reaction to take over 4 days to complete when it would normally take less than a second. Governmentium has a normal half-life of 4 years. It does not decay, but undergoes a reorganization in which a portion of the assistant neutrons and deputy neutrons exchange places. In fact, governmentium's mass will actually increase over time. Since each reorganization will cause more morons to become neutrons, forming isodopes, the characteristic of moron promotion leads some scientists to believe that governmentium is formed whenever morons reach a certain concentration. This hypothetical quantity is referred to critical morass. When catalyzed with money, governmentium becomes administratium, an element which radiates just as much energy since it has half as many peons but twice as many morons. Important scientific discoveries announced here on the Christian Worldview Show. Here's a couple of... I'll just order the producer right away to record that one. That's an important event. Here's another important event. Scientists Who Find Darwinism Unconvincing Conference is coming up. Features 8 top scientists. There are reduced registration fees for students and teachers, including homeschoolers. A further discount of $20 available for the attendee. Write CSJ in the comment box on the registration form at PiedmontTravel.com. Go to PiedmontTravel.com. The website includes directions, reservations, costs, accommodations, conference schedule, speaker biographies, etc. The terrific lineup of speakers includes Michael Behe, who wrote Darwin's Black Box, Jonathan Wells, who wrote Icons of Evolution, Thomas Woodward, who wrote Doubting Darwin, and they will present the latest scientific evidence debunking Darwinism. Hope you can attend that conference. It goes from August 4th, 5th, and 6th. That's next week, the end of next week, and we hope you can register and attend at the Palmetto Expo Center. Just go to PiedmontTravel.com. You'll find all the information you need there. to sign up and get going over to that meeting. This morning, the calendar, we have the Americans for Constitutional Government coming up at 10 o'clock at Sims Library on Pelham Road. Hoke, you, if for those of you who aren't going to be isolated in a cubicle this morning or somehow working in this horrendous heat outdoors, perhaps you can make it over to the Sims Library, Sims Ranch of the Greenville County Library meeting room, and have the Americans for Constitutional Government meeting on your agenda this morning. 10 o'clock till noon should be a good meeting. Hope you can attend. Also, later on this week, on Wednesday evening, we have the Libertarian Party meeting coming up, and we have the Greenville County Taxpayers Association on Thursday night. That's in downtown Greenville Library. Where do you find all information about all these great events? It's all on tyrannyresponse.com. That's the Tyranny Response Network's website, and under the Events tab, there's a calendar showing everything that's going on in the upstate, and it's well worth going and attending or taking a look at what you can attend. In fact, here's another quick announcement for you related to this. Are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume that you do not have the sense to make your own decisions? Try voting libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other libertarians? You'll find there are people like you. There are also people like me, concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. Our business meeting is at 6:30 p.m. the second Thursday of the month at the library on Malden Road between the old stadium and Lawrence Road. Visitors are welcome. That also means we hope the Constitution Party selected the first Thursday of the month to meet instead, because we have a Thursday is a popular night. You know, we got Libertarian Party on the second the Thursday, the League of the South on the third, Greenville Taxpayers on the fourth. Constitution Party made the mistake of putting it on the third and conflicting with League of the South last month. Let's hope they move it to the first Thursday, and that would get all our Thursdays filled up here in the upstate. At any rate, their business meeting, as I said, is the second Thursday of the month at the library on Malden Road between the old stadium and Lawrence Road. Visitors are welcome. To talk politics, join us for the Libertarian Underground at 8 p.m. the fourth Wednesday of the month. That's this Wednesday. It's at Cafe Underground just off of Main Street downtown. We would love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network. Indeed, we do thank you for doing that. And you know what? We're going to try to catch up with our break schedule here since we have a quick moment. And when we get back, we'll have more great news and stories to talk about. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and in the name of law commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
We welcome you back to Christian Worldview. Had an email from Charles. Actually, this just came in last week, or maybe it was on the weekend, and wanted to discuss it for a minute. He says, Congressman Ron Paul addresses the U.S. House of Representatives on July 10th. Neocon. This is what Ron Paul said. Of course, we loved Ron Paul, our best guy on the Hill, without any question. And Charles just wanted to send up the transcript of what some of the things that he said. He says, more recently, the modern-day neocons have come from the far left, a group historically identified as former Trotskyists. More important than the names of people affiliated with neoconservatism are the views they adhere to. Here's a brief summary of the general understanding of what neocons believe. 1. They agree with Trotsky on permanent revolution, violent as well as intellectual. 2. They are for redrawing the map of the Middle East and are willing to use force to do so. 3. They believe in preemptive war to achieve desired ends. 4. They accept the notion that the ends justify the means, that hardball politics is a moral necessity. 5. They express no opposition to the welfare state. 6. They are not bashful about the American empire. Instead, they strongly endorse it. 7. They believe lying is necessary for the state to survive. 8. They believe in a powerful federal government that it's a benefit. 9. They believe pertinent facts about how Social Security should be run should be held by the elite and withheld from those who do not have the courage to deal with it. 10. They believe neutrality in foreign affairs is ill-advised. 11. They hold Leo Strauss, ISD. 12. They believe imperialism, if progressive in nature, is appropriate. Using American might to force American ideals on others is acceptable. Force should not be limited to the defense of our country. 14. 9/11 resulted from the lack of foreign entanglements, not from too many. 15. They dislike and despise libertarians, therefore the same applies to all strict constitutionalists. 16. They endorse attacks on civil liberties, such as those found in the Patriot Act, as being necessary. 17. They unconditionally support Israel and have had a close alliance with the Likud party. That's from Ron Paul. Here's Charles' commentary. Neocons are Trotskyites, and Trotskyites are communists. That is the simplest way to put it. Leon Trotsky is the reason for communism in Russia, along with others. In fact, John, I found some interesting information for you. Most neocons are Zionist Jews and support the state of Israel at all costs, even when Israel was guilty. Is there a Jewish conspiracy? I don't know. What does the Encyclopedia Judaica has to say? Okay. Many Jews the world over therefore regard the Soviet concept of the solution to the Jewish question as an intrinsically positive approach. Communism and support of the Soviet Union seemed to many Jews to be the only alternative, and communist trends became widespread in virtually all Jewish communities. In some countries, Jews became the leading element in the legal and illegal communist parties, and in some cases were even instructed by the Communist International to change their Jewish-sounding names and pose as non-Jews. I think that is the case with Lenin, I believe. And Marx also had at least one Jewish parent. In order not to confirm right-wing propaganda that presented communism as an alien Jewish conspiracy. Well, you know, we're not that interested in talking about Jewish conspiracies here at Christian Worldview, but it is interesting that Jewish people have supported communism as much as they have, and that certainly has been the case. And appreciate you bringing that up this morning, Charles. If you'd like to talk about that, give a call to the show here this morning. Be happy to discuss it on Christian Worldview, as it is, as all things, important, especially because so many churches today are big fans and supporters of Israel, they even support Israel financially, which is, you know, bizarre, but you're trying to carry out their premillennial eschatology, get the temple rebuilt so Christ can return, then get out of the world. It's basically their idea, I'm afraid. Don't expand this police state. Here's an article that Ron Paul wrote on the LouRockwell.com website. I thought we'd bring that up since we're talking about Ron Paul. This is before the House of Representatives on July 21st, 2005. He says, Mr. Speaker, the USA Patriot Act and Terrorism Prevention Act, House Resolution 3199, in no way brings the Patriot Act into compliance with the Constitution or allays concerns that the powers granted to the government in the Act will be used to abuse the rights of the people. Much of the discussion surrounding this bill was resolved around the failure of the bill to extend the sunset clauses. However, simply sunsetting troublesome provisions does not settle the debates around the around the Patriot Act. If the Patriot Act is a constitutional and needed, as its proponents swear, why include sunset provisions at all? It is unconstitutional and pernicious. Why not abolish it immediately? The sunset clauses do perform one useful service in that they force Congress to regularly re-examine the Patriot Act. As the people's representatives, it is our responsibility to keep a close eye on the executive branch to ensure it does not abuse its power. Even if the claims of H.R. 3199 supporters that there have been no abuses of the Patriot Act under this administration are true, that does not mean that future administrations will not abuse these powers. H.R. 3199 continues to violate the Constitution by allowing searches and seizures of American citizens and their property without a warrant issued by an independent court upon finding a probable cause. The drafters of the Bill of Rights considered this essential protection against an overarching government. For example, Section 2115 of the Patriot Act, popularly known as the Library Provision, allows foreign intelligence surveillance courts, whose standards are hardly meet the constitutional requirement of the Fourth Amendment, to issue warrants for individual records, including medical and library records. H.R. 3199 does reform this provision by clarifying that it can be used to acquire the records of American citizens only during terrorist investigations. However, this marginal change fails to bring the section up to the constitutional standard of probable cause. Requiring a showing of probable cause before a warrant may be issued will in no way hamper terrorist investigations. For one thing, federal authorities still would have numerous tools available to investigate and monitor the activities of non-citizens suspected of terrorism. Second, restoring the Fourth Amendment protections would in no way interfere with the provisions of the Patriot Act, removing the firewalls that prevented the government's law enforcement and intelligence agencies from sharing information. The probable cause requirements will not delay terrorist investigation. Preparations made for the issuance of a warrant in the event of an emergency and disallowances can be made for cases where law enforcement does not have the time to obtain a warrant. In fact, a requirement that law enforcement demonstrate probable cause may help law enforcement focus their efforts on true threats, thus avoiding the problem of information overload that is handicapping the government's efforts to identify sources of terrorist financing. The requirement that law enforcement demonstrate probable cause before a judge preserves the founder's system of checks and balances that protects against one branch gathering too much power. The founders recognized that one of the chief dangers to liberty was a concentration of power in a few hands, which is why they carefully divided power among the three branches. I would remind those of my colleagues who claim that we must set aside the constitutional requirements during war that the founders were especially concerned about the consolidation of power during times of war and national emergencies. My colleagues should also keep in mind that the Patriot Act powers may already have been used in non-terrorism-related cases, most notably in the bribery investigation in Nevada. Mr. Speaker, House Resolution 3199 does take some positive steps towards restoring respect for constitutional liberties and checks and balances that the original Patriot Act has stripped away. However, it still leaves in place large chunks of legislation that threaten individual liberty by giving law enforcement power to snoop into American citizens' lives without adequate oversight. This power is unnecessary to effectively fight terrorism. Therefore, I urge my colleagues to reject this bill. And we appreciate Ron Paul standing up for the truth on Capitol Hill in the face of all these charlatans and nasty demagogues and so forth that have undermined the Constitution, subverted our liberties in this country. Ron Paul stands as a beacon up there shining with the truth. Of course, a former libertarian, still really is a libertarian, just runs under Republican tags so we can get elected. But anyway, we appreciate what Ron has to say about the Patriot Act and its evils. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Time for the top of the hour break, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson.
Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville. Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And right now in Greenville and Spartanburg, we got 75 degrees and clear. And downtown, we got 77 degrees. And Anderson, 76. Clemson, 75. Today, partly cloudy, slight chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Hot, humid with high up in the upper 90s. West winds around 5 miles per hour, chance of 20% rain. Heat index up to 110.
Yeah, we have to watch out for that heat index. It's a rough, rough day out there. Make sure you hide and seek cover in your cubicles that are air-conditioned, climate-controlled things, thanks to modern technology, to the chagrin of environmentalist kooky-type folks who would want us to return to the jungles and literally live out in this kind of heat. Terrible. At any rate, welcome back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you joined us this morning. If you're just joining us now, we've had a rousing show talking about some things that Ron Paul has had to say about the Patriot Act and about the loss of liberty in America and his declarations before the Congress recently, as well as talking a bit about the public school, the NEA, trying to defend the virtues of public schooling, attacking homeschoolers in particular by using one of their best writers available, who happens to be the head custodian of a school in Evanston, Illinois. In other words, they've got the janitors going out. The cleaning crew is now trying to clean up homeschoolers, and we found that they weren't that successful in doing so. We have some more comments coming up here about the public school, specifically some more things on Dr. Paul Dean's website. Most of the time, we sure do enjoy what Paul has to say, but the last two blogs have had some difficulty. This one, Christians in Public School, Thoughts on Cultural Engagement. This is a very long weblog. Won't have time to read it. Of course, you can go and read his weblogs at crosswalk.com, and then you click on News, I believe it is. And under News, it'll pull down a menu that has weblogs there, and just click on his name after you go there. But at any rate, and this one, he's trying to find some middle ground between Tony Beam, the famous Tony Beam, who and Al Mohler, the president of the Louisville, what's it called, Southern Seminary. So it's a Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville. And wow, this is quite a stretch, I suppose, in many respects. I was hoping to find here a couple of things that might be really very interesting to read about this. There are basically four different views that are Baptists espouse besides my own. And now Paul Dean, I guess, makes five different views, different ways you can look at things. Basically, you've got a group of folks who think, like Bruce Short and I, that the public school is completely evil, that there's no way you can transform this thing, it's time to get out. Now, Bruce Short and I disagree, because he will actually say, we need to stay in there and, you know, a couple of teachers here and there and be brave and courageous and try to stand for the truth. He definitely says, get your kids out. The violence, the alternative lifestyles, the environmentalism, the socialism, the secular humanism, the paganism, the Darwinism, and the Marxism, those things are so egregious and so pernicious in the public school, you got to get out. And I agree entirely. I go a step further and say no one should be there, because public schooling is a proactive policy, and proactive policy to change people's behavior as well as to redistribute wealth, and therefore on its face, it is evil. Christians should not have anything to do with working for a proactive institution. That's just one thing. The other is, of course, what Bruce Short says. And then thirdly, that the institution itself is an evil institution. It's something that cannot be transformed other than, one might consider, transformation by raising it off the face of the earth. Abortion clinics, the National Organization for Women, gangster organizations, kiddie porn firms, these kinds of things are evil, egregious, sinful, malicious, and malignant activities in society that have no purpose. They have no purpose in God's economy. The only good that we can do with them is to destroy them entirely. The public school fits in right there. Why in the world would you want a kid to be sent to one of these things? It doesn't make any sense. You wouldn't want to. Besides Bruce Short's and mine, are Al Mohler, who basically says, you know, things are really bad there, especially with the homosexual agenda. So Al Mohler, the president of Southern Seminary, says, we need to create an exit strategy. Let's not get out right now, but let's just create an exit strategy so we can sort of get out when we got all our ducks in a row. He's a little bit stronger than that. I mean, he's definitely on the side of Bruce Short and I. Then you've got Tony Beam, who says, oh, no, I don't want to hurt the feelings of my friends who are good people trying to do a good job in the public school. No, we can't abandon it. Nobody ever wins a battle by retreat. What we need to do instead is be salt and light. Let's thrust our children in there, who may not even be believers, and thrust them into this system to somehow make it better than it is, as if it can be transformed. Totally boneheaded argument, especially because the empirical results are that 85% of so-called Christian kids that go to public high schools abandon the faith. I mean, it's an awful place to send kids. We've got to do something to stem the tide of this ridiculous, illogical thinking that the Tony Beams of the world are promoting in their weblogs and in their columns. Well, Paul Dean, not wanting to make anybody upset, apparently, among the other Baptists, has come up with a compromise position. It ends up being, and maybe it's because Tony Beam's preached at his church lately, and maybe it's because he's read Tony Beam, or it has to deal with have him on the air and on his show for some time, and wants to be nice to him or something. I don't know. I can't imagine exactly why, but Paul basically says, look, what we need to do is say that for most people, the vast majority of people, Al Mohler's right. We need to get our kids out of the public school. They're not well prepared. The issue should not be whether or not it's evil or not. It's just whether kids are prepared to stand the evil, and most kids aren't. Therefore, the vast majority of Christians should leave. Al Mohler's right. However, we shouldn't say it's sin categorically. It's a matter of Christian liberty. If a few parents want to send their kids into this tar pit, then they can do that, you know, because they're well prepared. It's sort of an inane argument, because there are so many hours a week that they have to imbibe all these nonsense that I mentioned to you, all this sin and evil. evil, and they have to do homework for it, study it, and then very rarely are they going to get a chance to witness. It's almost like, to me, it's almost like saying, well, look, you know, not everybody's prepared to go into topless bars and witness to the girls in there or whoever else is in there. So, you know, don't do it for the most part. But leave it to your Christian liberty. If there's a few of you out there that can handle it, that are well prepared and can get, you know, can stand the onslaught of the sin, and so forth. You know, you guys stay in there and witness because it's necessary to do. You know, this is a preposterous argument. I'm sorry, Paul. As much as I appreciate you, and I wouldn't use your name publicly, except that it's you've had it on your web blog publicly, so this is your position. This is not a Christian, wise Christian position. You do not go into places that are right at the gates of hell or in hell itself in all their doings and try to witness to people. You don't do that. God pulled his people out of Sodom and Gomorrah. He can pull them out of the public school. There are places that we just don't go. They're off limits to us as Christians. There's no need for us to go. We'll meet these people elsewhere to witness to them. And this is just a poor excuse, especially for unconverted children or non-prepared ones, as you would say. But even for the prepared, I don't think you can ever be prepared enough to survive a 35-hour-a-week indoctrination course in things that are against Christianity, pro-pagan, pro-secular humanistic, pro-Marxist, pro-alternative lifestyle, pro-environmental nutty doctrine, and possibly come out unscathed. Just can't do it. Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, bad communications corrupt good manners. In other words, bad environment corrupts your good conduct, and that's exactly what happens to kids that get thrust into the public school system. So, at any rate, there's your spice for the morning. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're hopping to our quick break a little late, and then we'll be back in just a minute.
Faith and Legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson. Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
Our research staff sent up a report from Drudge that Hillary Clinton is to support the Bush court nominee. Exclusive, Senator Hillary Clinton has confided to associates that she intends to vote for Bush Supreme Court nominee John Roberts, the Drudge Report has learned. Maybe John Roberts disclosed to Hillary what his true agenda really is. Unless some unforeseen development occurs around Roberts, Clinton will throw her support behind confirmation, says a top source. Look, we're not thrilled President Bush is in office and gets to make these choices, said a top Hillary source. We just have to make the best of the situation until the next election. Yeah, where she hopes she can be the next president of the United States, could well be. Drudge Reports says, discloses that Hillary is going to support the Roberts nomination. Well, we want to make a quick announcement for one of our good friends here, and that is the Times Examiner. And do you remember all? You remember the Times Examiner, don't you? It's the conservative voice of the Palmetto State. If you're tired of reading liberal columnists, then subscribe to the Times Examiner, which supports home and Christian schooling, limited government, free markets, private property rights, gun ownership, Christian values, and our great Southern heritage. You can get a full year subscription to the Times Examiner for only $20 in-state, or $25 in-state, and $27 out-of-state. Call 864-268-0576. That's 864-268-0576. If you'd like to place an ad in the Times Examiner, call David. Ask for him by name at 864-859-6817. That's 864-859-6817. Ask for David and help support the Times Examiner here in the Upstate. It's a great newspaper and one you should get to your home every week if it's not coming already. And we went over to the events that are available this week at the tyrannyresponse.com website. Just go to tyrannyresponse.com or tyrannyresponse.net, see the calendar there and all the local events. And as always, anything I mentioned on the show that or on the air here that you didn't have time to write down because you were driving, it's all written down for you at the tyrannyresponse.com website. So make that a point to visit there frequently. Well, here, there's another issue that came up that is of great concern to Christians. Rippin Ritchie, who is the webmaster, and actually is hoping to start his own show this afternoon, he told me, at 3 o'clock, or 4:30 today. It'll be interesting to see how that works out when the Sacred House Slaughterhouse finally opens up. But at any rate, Ritchie had sent me over an email from a conservative group, an e-group, I should say, and an email list, talking about the two boys who engaged in homosexual sex in London, or Islamic, and when they returned to their home country somewhere in the Middle East, I forget where it was all of a sudden, they were, I think it was Iran, but I may be mistaken, they were hanged, they were tried and hanged because of they were homosexuals. Well, this is, caused a great deal of stir, and of course what people said immediately was, well, the religious right, you know, the theonomists will do the same thing. And, I'd like to hear from some theonomists, but when I read Greg Bahnsen online, there's an article I have saved somewhere. Greg Bahnsen says precisely that. There should be the death penalty for homosexuals. Probably not on the first offense like this, but people who make a flagrant public show of homosexual activities. In fact, I'm not even sure these two boys under a theonomist position, as I understand it, would actually suffer the death penalty. It's only for those who are really flagrant and putting it in people's faces and perverting the society that would be executed. But be that as it may, there's a large uproar going on saying that the theonomists and those from the hardcore Christian right who want to kill homosexuals through the state are going to do so now the same way that the Islamic people are. Now, I sent this up to the Libertarian Christians email list, had an interesting response from Robin, thought I'd read that to you with respect to this, and then maybe we'll generate a few phone calls here from folks who are interested in talking about this subject. Anyway, Robin says, in 1989, I innocently attended a theonomist conference organized by Coalition on Revival. Don't know what that is. Pardon the cliche, but these guys were stormtroopers. Coalition on Revival leader Jay Grimstead called non-theonomists Amalekites and promoted oath-swearing and mindless submission to the hierarchy as the keys to spiritual and political dominion. The evening's entertainment including a dance performance of children marching with fake swords to a song glorifying holy war. Several months later, a friend of mine who also attended the Coalition on Revival conference joined the other San Francisco Bay Area theonomists in forming the obscure and merciful Stillborn Christian Heritage Party. I dropped in one of their meetings and to find the brethren debating how best to exterminate homosexuals once they came to power. Some said hanging, others preferred poison gas. Finally, a consensus emerged: firing squads. My friend opposed them. Bullets are too expensive, he said. This marked the beginning of his descent into conspiracy-mongering, stone-cold anti-Semitism, and the Christian identity movement. My last encounter with this horrid ideology was a dinner hosted by a theonomous couple. The husband lectured me on the necessity of political mass murder. Witches must be liquidated, and homosexuals too, death by stoning. It's them or us, he spat. I asked him what would happen to people who refused to obey the police in this new order. He raged that such filthy rebels must be shot without mercy, all the while his wife stared at him in abject worship. I allowed the bully to preach his dominionist heart out until midnight, permitting him to think that he succeeded in making me twice as much a son of hell as himself. Then I rose and shook his hand, telling him that this was all very interesting, but totally unconvincing. At this he seemed to visibly deflate, as his eager eyes went glassy in befuddlement. A gentle answer turneth away wrath. Well, that's an interesting anecdote from Robin, who apparently has attended a few theonomist events. What interests me, because I've already stated what I think the theonomist position is, it's not quite as egregious as many people think. On the other hand, apparently this, Robin has first-hand experience with three different groups, and two of which seem to go far beyond Greg Bonson's advice or the advice of the typical theonomist, and actually having enrage towards just attacking and killing these people, these homosexuals. Now, this is an important issue for Christian worldview, obviously, because nobody in the Christian worldview likes homosexuality. We all think it's sin. We all think it's wrong. We all think it should be obliterated and so forth from the earth. But we also think the same thing about other sins. The question is, should government, or specifically the state, be used to proactively destroy people who practice certain sins? Corey Burnell, and a while back we had some discussion about this, he had written in believing that the sodomy should be made illegal. He wasn't talking about putting people to death, but he was talking about making it illegal. So do we do that as Christians, or do we do something else? I think something else, and we're going to talk about that as soon as we come back from this quick break. My producer's shaking his head. No break? Okay, well, we're going to try to go without a break for some reason. I guess we have a long break coming at the bottom of the hour with the Bill of Rights, so we'll just take we'll cut out a little bit early here for that. At any rate, well, here's the rationale. Christians are never called in the Scriptures to attack other people who are sinners, especially in the New Testament. We see the Christian call is to preach to these people, to be woefully concerned about their sin and about the degradation it brings to society. But even homosexuals can be saved. And if you're a homosexual listening to my voice this morning, I want you to know that for the love of Christ, we would preach the gospel to you, to tell you to repent of your ways, to show you that there is a better way, that your life is a life of bondage and misery, and that you will land, my friend, in hell for your sins. You have committed one of the most egregious offenses against God possible by being a homosexual. But God is gracious, and He is able to save anyone. The blood of Christ is good enough to cover your sins, and if you simply repent and believe in Jesus, you will be saved. That's the bottom line story, and homosexuals should be called to repent. We should rejoice to see them repent. I think a theonomist would completely agree with what I just said. Now, they might say it gets to some point where they're so incorrigible and they're so affecting of society that their malicious, nasty intent requires that they should be hanged or whatever else. That, I think, is Greg Bonson's view and some of the other theonomists that I recall reading in the past. My view is we should never have any kind of proactive policy at all. There should never come a point in time where Christians use the arm of the state to enforce any kind of morality whatsoever. We say, what's the purpose of the state? Well, there is no purpose of the state. The state needs to be obliterated. That doesn't mean that government has to be obliterated. We can still have government, and what's that for? Government is a collective entity to protect our rights, our fundamental rights to life, liberty, and property, and we can have collective defense, actions collectively to help us defend ourselves in a way we could not defend ourselves individually, namely against foreign aggressors or against powerful domestic aggressors, tyrants, as well as infectious diseases, perhaps. That's what the purpose of government is for, not to change people's behavior, but simply to react in a defensive way to protect the rights of citizens so that they don't violate one another's rights or that a foreign aggressor does not violate them. There should be no other proactive policy. And once we go down that slippery slope, I get very fearful with what the outcome would be as we see the state, evil by nature, a salty spring expected to spew forth fresh water and do something good in society, like not only legislate morality, but enforce a moral system upon anyone. Don't want anything to do with states. At least that's my particular view. You may differ. Be glad to hear from you if you do. We have a lot of people who hold to a theonomic position here at the Tyranny Response Network. I'm glad they're with us. We have so many things that we have in common, yet there are a few differences, and this is one of them, and that how we would eventually treat people or use the state, and how we would eventually treat sinners because of their sin. And you've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're going to take a long break now. We'll be back in a few minutes.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth. The Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the American Constitution. Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedoms of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Amendment 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed. Amendment 3. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Amendment 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Amendment 5. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject to the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Amendment 7. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Amendment 8. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Amendment 9. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Amendment 10. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And right now, the weather in Greenville-Spartanburg is 75, and downtown is 79, Anderson 77, Clemson 75. Today, partly cloudy, slight chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Hot, humid with highs in the upper 90s. West winds around 5 miles per hour, chance of rain 20%. Heat index values up to 110.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview. It's been a long break, but a worthwhile break as we remind ourselves about the Bill of Rights. And having some pretty heavy discussion earlier on the show today, talking about public schools and Pastor Paul Dean's blog, trying to mediate between the Tony Beams of the world versus the Al Mohlers of Southern Seminary and others like Bruce Short and myself, who would be very much opposed to public schooling. And we also have some discussion about homosexuals and killing them, because it recently happened, I think it was in Iran. And we have, in fact, a caller on the line. Chuck's joining us now, and we welcome you to the program, Chuck.
Hey, good morning, John. Thank you for having me.
Sure. Glad you called. What's on your mind?
Well, I was intrigued by your discussion about the public schools. Always a good discussion. But I do think we have a little bit of a difference of opinion about teachers in public schools. I understand that students, they're not prepared to deal with the humanism and so forth that's taught there. But I have to believe that if a teacher is well prepared, they can be salt and light in that environment. And I understand what you're saying about witnessing in a brothel or wherever, but, you know, we'd be fishers of men, and the fish, you got to go to the sea or the lake, right?
Yeah, except we wouldn't send them to brothels, right? So there are places you wouldn't send people to go fish, be fishers of men.
Well, I understand that. And I don't try to fish underwater. You know, you stay in the boat.
Yeah, and that's where I come down on this particular issue. And the other side is what confirms it for me is that the public school is dedicated to proactive policies of changing people's behavior and redistributing wealth through property taxes and other things. It's a completely proactive function of the state, and I don't know any proactive function of the state that a Christian should be involved with, whether it's child services, whether it's condom redistribution, whether it's a formation of different energy policies and so forth that are monopolistic in nature and granting privileges to certain people, or most of the functions of government today are proactive, and I wouldn't think a Christian in good conscience could be part of it. Now, I do make an exception in my book that says if a person really wants to go in and be an influence, as you're saying, then let's take off the kid gloves here and say, give up the government paycheck. Don't be part of the looting of other people. If you believe you're called to go and be a missionary in this place and you're well prepared, so to speak, forget the government paycheck. Go get your elder board to sponsor you as a missionary to the public school and go there. Or if you believe you're called to destroy the public school as a mole, so to speak, that's fine too. But these are very delicate and special callings. What I find is people use it as an excuse that they're going to be a witness there and a testimony, and all they really want to do is get the government paycheck. And in fact, they're really not doing much at all, and they're being forced to teach a lot of things which they disagree with.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, and I think if it was me, I would have to agree. I couldn't do that either. But on the other hand, I think we need to be careful about not condemning well-meaning Christians who genuinely feel they have a ministry in the public school, and like other ministers, they do deserve to be paid. They're earning their pay.
Right, but not necessarily by the evil source and by looting taxpayers. You know, we don't. I mean, what would happen if we wanted to send missionaries to Africa and loot taxpayers to do it? We wouldn't agree with that, or at least I wouldn't. I don't believe you can get a government wage through a proactive source and still be just. I think you can sit on the Supreme Court or be president or do a lot of the functions of traditional governments of defense and use taxpayer-funded money to take a salary, but not when you loot taxpayers for welfare state programs or any proactive policy. I think that's a sin in and of itself.
Well, that's an interesting point, because I've known some excellent missionaries who did work by going to China, for example, and being teachers there. It's a very similar situation.
Yeah, but I don't think they got paid in China by the government. Or if they did, it'd be pretty paltry. They were probably supported at home here. The ones I knew that did that sort of stuff when I was living in South America did not take any salary where they worked. They only took from the home mission board or wherever their support was back in the States. That's how they got paid. So that's the other ethical problem I think Christian teachers run into. It's just an excuse they use for being there in that particular place. Bruce Short also makes a case for them to be courageous and stand up for truth there. I say fine. Let's take off the kid gloves again and talk about the facts of money. Go ahead, and if your elder board truly believes that you need to be sent as a missionary there and you're not doing it as a vocation, then have them approve it and oversee you. I'm in favor of that. Or not, go ahead and be a mole and undermine the thing, but don't loot taxpayers for it.
Yes, there's another thing that people do. There's Young Life. Are you familiar with that program?
Yeah, now those things are great. If you can go onto the campus around the pagans and be able to preach to them at a distance, so to speak, where you're not being indoctrinated. It's kind of like if I use the example of the abortion clinic or the topless bar. It's you don't have to go in deep. You know, maybe there's like a section of, where the people come in and mingle, but you don't actually have to be exposed to the evil and tempt yourself or be affected yourself by it, but you can still see some of the people. And I think sitting out there at the designated room where you don't have to listen to the garbage that's being promoted, is an opportunity to witness. You come on campus for 30 minutes or an hour, and then you leave. These are ministries that are not supported by the government schools. They're just allowed there, and I don't have a problem with that either, any more than I would a person standing in front of a topless bar and witnessing to people, or a person sitting in the foyer of an abortion clinic witnessing to the women about to go in. I don't have a problem with that either. So I don't want to come sound too hard line, like you can't even come near the thing because it's just so polluted and wicked. The problem is that people take the proactive salary, and they also end up imbibing a lot of the nonsense that goes on there by being pushed into the institution itself, and that's what we need to avoid.
Okay, yeah, I understand your position. I still just have to be very careful about condemning. I think you have some excellent people, and even if we disagree with them, we need to be very gentle about our disagreement.
Right. Well, other people are called to be, or everybody's called to be gentle at some point, but on the other hand, especially when you're dealing one-on-one with people, when I'm on the radio, I want to make clear that this is something, what it is. It's a sin that we have to, that's very predominant in society, and someone's got to call people to task for it. So even if they hate me for how I say it, I hope that it'll at least sink into somebody's ears, and they'll share with them the truth of what's happening with this, and they'll come along sensibly and peacefully and get away from the nonsense they're participating in. There's too many mealy-mouthed Christians out there, Chuck, that don't tell people the truth. I don't know what else to say. They'll let people coddle their sins and live in it because they don't want to offend them. And I think this is a mistake. Christians have given up too much truth and too much ground in the fight against tyranny because they just wanted to be nice to people. So that's the thing I struggle with. I appreciate what you're saying. I want to be gentle, but I also want to be firm as our Lord was and as the Apostle Paul was. And so I'll strive to do that, and I appreciate the encouraging comment there to that extent.
Yes, well, this has really helped me sort out my thinking on the issue. I appreciate it.
Okay, Chuck, thanks for calling. We're going to a break now, aren't we? Yes, we are. We're going to a break, and we appreciate the call, Chuck. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, good day, John.
Bye-bye.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
I just want to remind folks, too, to go to tyrannyresponse.com or tyrannyresponse.net, where you'll find all sorts of interesting information about the great upstate events that are going on throughout the month, including the Scientists Who Find Darwinism Unconvincing Conference, Greenville County Libertarian Party, the South Carolina Constitution Party, and the Institute on the Constitution. That's going on this coming month here at Bible Baptist Church at 2522 Gentry Memorial Highway, Highway 8 in Pickens, South Carolina. You can call Mark Dibbler for more information about that. 864-421-2714. 864-421-2714. That's the intensive five-week version of the Institute on the Constitution. We also have the Americans for Constitutional Government meeting. That's this morning at 10 o'clock at the Sims Library off of Pelham Road in Greenville. The Greenville County Taxpayers, the League of the South, a great meeting last week, and the Carolina Patriots, who have several meetings in the area here, Greenville, Fountain Inn, and Asheville. Hope you can attend some of those meetings. Remember to go to the website and find out about your local events here in the upstate. Also, go to the tab of where it says Related Media. Scroll down to the bottom and sign the Fundamental Rights Petition to Save Your Private Property. The Related Media has a link section. At the very bottom it says Petitions, and you'll have the South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition. 275 people have signed so far. Make sure you sign it today. Go there and find out more about it. In addition, the Tyranny Response Network is looking for volunteers. We're a volunteer organization, and we're hoping to have people help us produce shows and do other work for the Tyranny Response Network. If you're interested in supporting this great effort, go to the tyrannyresponse.com website and click the Contact tab at the top. The pull-down menu will then get to the different places you can email, and names mentioned there, Mark, Chuck, Brad, Richie. Go ahead and send one of those folks an email and tell them you're interested in supporting TRN and in doing something to help the cause part-time. We have lots of things that people can do, and we need help in many areas, so hope that you'll consider giving some volunteer effort towards the Tyranny Response Network promoting the program. Finally, on the website, you have the audio tab. The audio tab lists the recent Christian Worldview programs, as well as a number of special programs like the ones on self-defense and warfare, the Memorial of Villainy, which we did on Memorial Day, my interview with Chuck Baldwin, and the special broadcast about Romans 13 and 1 Peter chapter 2. There's an entire section below that keeps growing on public policy issues, as well as audio files dealing with the Christian view or understanding or biblical public policy theology. Hope you can avail yourselves of those audio files and help spread the truth to other people. Okay, going back to a few news stories now, we have just another, I guess we go rapid fire through some of these things. Every day I get inundated with the great efforts of the Tyranny Response Network's research staff, as well as other people who email me things, they're great stories. Here's one, man shot by London police not connected to the bombing. Police acknowledged on Saturday the man they shot dead on Friday was not connected to bomb attacks in the British capital the previous day, calling the shooting tragic and regrettable. We're now satisfied that he was not connected with the incidents of Thursday, 21st July 2005, police said in a statement. For somebody to lose their life in such circumstances is a tragedy and one that the Metropolitan Police regrets, the police said. Well, okay, they've apologized for murdering an innocent man. Sad. Anyway, I guess accidents do happen. I suppose you can chalk it up to that, but I'll tell you what, states are known for having lots and lots of accidents. It's like to get rid of people that they don't like. Who knows what this guy really was all about? I'm just suspicious as I am. Maybe it was just a complete accident, and they just killed an electrician who was in the wrong place at the wrong time. Here's a Columbus stands by the decision to disarm its victims. I believe this is from Columbus, Ohio. Yes, gun control advocates in Columbus, Ohio accuse the National Rifle Association of trying to bully them and say they will stand firmly in support of a gun ban, even though it will cost the city millions of dollars in lost business. Second Amendment supporters hope the gun ban may also cost city council members their jobs at election time. But the National Rifle Association Executive Vice President Wayne LaPierre said the ban gives law-abiding citizens Columbus residents less freedom and fewer rights than citizens who live outside the city limits. What's changed is they actually carried through and passed this ridiculous proposal, LaPierre said on Thursday. At any rate, so we know another city going down the drain as far as the Second Amendment. Christian Libertarians email list. I finished reading it. It's a post I made. Thought I'd bring it up to you. Edmund Opitz has a book called The Libertarian Theology of Freedom. It's actually a compendium of some of his best writing over the years. And I just finished that small book. It was advertised on the Libertarian Christians email list. It is well written, it's interesting, and has even better content. One can glean a lot about libertarian philosophy, the history of famous collectivist ideas, and the challenges of liberal Christianity that spawned a Marxist social gospel pro-UN idea. The only problem I had with it is that the title was wrong. The book has relatively little to do with the Bible, less than 5%, I'd guess. It has to do with exegesis, biblical theology, and the theology of public policy in the Bible. So in that aspect, it was disappointing. Having said that, I still say it's a must-read, and here are a few of my favorite quotations from the book. And these have also been installed at the policyofliberty.net website. That's my website. Listen to what Opitz has to say. It's just great stuff. As long as the state, the agency of coercion, stands over society, offering to dispense economic privilege to those who pay it homage, conferring an advantage on some men at the expense of other men, the misuse of political power should be the first line of attack for the moralist. It is inevitable that political privilege will be used this way if it is available and begging to be used. No people has ever resisted it who have ever been led into this temptation. Another place he says, there is a place for government in the affairs of men, and our Declaration of Independence tells us precisely what that place is. The role of government is to protect individuals and their God-given natural right or individual rights. Freedom is the natural birthright of man, but all that government can do in behalf of freedom is to let the individual alone, and it should secure him and his rights by making others let him alone. And that truly is the philosophy of government. And finally, he says, if the state itself is set up as the supreme arbiter of human affairs, it must domesticate the individual, lest any lingering remnants of self-reliance weaken the state authority. The state must restrict the individual's effort to follow the dictates of his conscience, and they conflict with the decrees of Caesar. In the interest of its own safety, the state must eventually deny that the individual is a person, for the individual can be a person only when he puts his obligation to God ahead of his obligation to Caesar. Great quotations from this book. I hope you get a chance to read Edmund Opitz, The Libertarian Theology of the State, or Libertarian Theology of Freedom, sorry. It is a good book. It'll be disappointing if you're actually looking for more theological treatise on things, but it's still good in general. Very good, as a matter of fact. Well, here's a Rummaging the Attic article someone sent up to me by Brett McAtee. He says, I found this old newspaper clipping while cleaning out my grandfather's attic. Fuhrer appoints national judge. German news press release, July 20th, 1934. That'd be, wow, 71 years ago, huh? Yesterday in Berlin, Judge Schiegelberger was appointed to the German High Court. Schiegelberger is a judge whose position tracks nicely with our own national socialist Weltanschauung. For example, in 1932, Schlegelberger was quoted as saying, the decision that Jews are not human beings is a settled law of the land. There is nothing in my personal views that would prevent me from fully and faithfully applying the precedent. My goodness. Sounds like Roberts, doesn't it, with his Roe versus Wade comment. The Christian community in the Deutschland is said to be ecstatic over his pick. They are especially excited about Schlegelberger's judicial philosophy. That philosophy is summarized by his admission that, I don't necessarily think that it's the best approach to have an all-encompassing philosophy. When asked about his views on his choice, Reichsnachzasser, Minister for Religion and Culture, Reverend Schuing, was quoted as saying, as a national socialist and Christian people, we are ecstatic this man was chosen for this position, avoiding somebody with communist-type credentials. Surely even the most casual observer can see that Judge Schlegelberger is clearly the better candidate than we would have with the communist control of the Bundestag. Many have noted that the Schlegelberger family might even have the gratuitous effect of having a moderating influence of how many Jews are disposed of annually, as the judge's wife, Jane Schlegelberger, has served as president of the Zyklon B, Women for Jewish Life, Pastor Brett McAtee. Very interesting parody, I suppose, and indeed very true. How can people be conservatives, true conservatives, and still be supportive of Judge Roberts on the bench when he's such a pro-abort. It doesn't make any sense. And here's another one. Has the war made you safer? Daryl Dow. Don't mind all that noise in the studio here, folks. It's just the walls crashing down on top of us. Has the war made you any safer? Daryl Dow writes, 3:10 in the morning, he says. Is the public starting to slowly awaken from its Fox News-induced stupor? According to a recent CNN USA Today Gallup poll, 54% of Americans now believe the war has made the United States less secure. In October 2003, Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld penned a memo questioning whether our actions in the War of Terror were producing positive results. Rumsfeld wrote, "We lack metrics to know if we are winning or losing the war on global terror. Are we capturing, killing, or deterring or dissuading more terrorists every day than the madrasas and radical clerics are recruiting, training, and deploying against us?" Well, now they're saying that, guess what? It may not be working. The argument made by Bush and the neocons begins with the presumption there are a finite number of potential terrorists that can be penned up in Iraq and dealt with accordingly. In fact, the pool of anti-American fighters has likely grown in response to the invasion of Iraq. In a report published earlier this year, the CIA admitted that the war in Iraq is a major recruiting device for bin Laden and his minions. To compel modern democracies to withdraw military forces from the territory that the terrorists view as their homeland is the important thing to do. I had a very grievous conversation yesterday. It was grievous to me with a Sunday school teacher at my church. He's a professor at Bob Jones, of all places, and I was sad to hear him say a few of the things that he did. He is, of course, a divine writer. He believes the war in Iraq is justified, that capital punishment by states is justified. And I asked him if the Apostle Paul was murdered by Caesar, or whoever it was under Caesar's minions who did this, when they allegedly chopped off Paul's head for preaching the gospel and for being a Christian and so forth. He answered, no, the state can do no murder. As an institution, it's completely immune from the actions of individuals within it, that even though an individual might murder somebody who might work for the state itself commits no crimes. And by logical extension, although we didn't go into this, anything that was done under Hitler or under Stalin or under Mao by the hand of the state dispensing what it thinks was justice is justified. It's no longer murder if they do it that way. And this was very grievous to me, and sorry to hear that sort of thing. We also hear people saying that, he was actually saying that, you know, you could actually have states executing criminals and then non-criminals by the death penalty, but it was okay if they killed innocent people, simply because the state can't be responsible in its administration of justice to be omniscient. It can't know everything, and therefore, because it doesn't know everything, we just excuse it when it kills innocent people. This is a very grievous thing. It's egregious. I think it's even a sinful understanding of the scriptures that they would allow the death penalty or the genocides and so forth that go on in the land. So had to bring that up too, since I happened to read this about the war in Iraq, and I was sorry to hear that. It's been a great show today with Christian Worldview, and I'm going to close with one quote from A Little Philosophy from one of our Tyranny Response Network researchers, and then we're going to close the show and hope to see you tomorrow. All human cultures in some way have to deal with accounting for the myriads of objects and phenomena surrounding them. The observation of the word phenomenon leads many cultures to believe that the infinity of things and their changes can ultimately be related back to a single object, material, or idea. The problem of finding the one thing that lies behind all things in the universe is the problem called the problem of the one and the many. Basically stated, the problem of the one and the many begins when the assumption that the universe is one thing. Because it is one thing, there must be one unifying aspect behind everything. This aspect could be material, such as water or air or atoms. It could be an idea, such as a number or mind. Mind. It could be divine, such as the Christian conception of God or the Chinese conception of Shang-Ti, the Lord on High. The problem, of course, is figuring out what that one unifying idea is. Well, we have an idea here. It's the biblical doctrine of the Trinity. It's the Christian worldview. We know the answer to this, and we're here to proclaim it to you folks on the airwaves here in the upstate of South Carolina and around the world. Thanks for listening today to Christian Worldview. We'll see you again tomorrow.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us tomorrow morning at 7:30 right here at the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.